than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. But Lord, also in all that is said and all that is done, we just thank you that the name of Jesus is exalted in this place, that all the praise and the honor and the glory go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Are we ready to receive this morning, folks? Right? Because today, we're going to be having a look at a portion of Scripture out of 1 John. Sorry, is that, are we okay here? The sound. Out of 1 John. Am I in the wrong place? Is it echoing? Isn't it? All right. Sorry, that's me. So, you know, it's good that we have topical messages from time to time, but we like to mix it up, you know, in this church, that it's not only topical messages, that sometimes we take a portion of Scripture and we just read through it and we kind of unpack it. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So, you know, John here gives us some very important pointers on how you and I should be living our lives. And so I've titled today's message, Loving This World. Now, that's quite ambiguous. And I'll show you why it is ambiguous. But the title is Loving This World. And, you know, John makes a very, very bold statement in this portion of Scripture that we're about to read. He says that loving the world is incompatible with loving the Father. So what he's saying is that you can't love this world and this world system and love God. You just can't do the two together. So let's now have a look at this portion of Scripture. This is 1 John chapter 2, and I'm starting from verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So basically what he's saying that, you know, God's love is not in you if you embrace this world and this world system, and this world system is so important to you. He goes on to say, for all that is in the world, and now he talks about it, he tells us what they are, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And now he actually gives us some important information about the world. In the next verse, he says in verse 17, he says, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So folks, basically what John is doing over here, he is writing to us, to the church, to encourage us, right? And remember that you and I are the church. The church is not a building. You and I are the church, and John is writing to us to encourage us. And really, as we read this now, it's important that we know what he's talking about when he says the world. What is he talking about? Because the Bible uses that word world in many different ways. For example, you can see in the Bible, and I'll give us a scripture now, it talks about the world when it speaks about creation. It says in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world, there it is, and the world and those who dwell within. So there it's talking about creation. Then the Bible will also use the world when it speaks about all people. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we can see there are different times that we see in the Word of God where it uses that phrase, the world. It means different things. Then it means this world system. In other words, the principles and the things that are taught in this world, okay, so that people can say, you know what, this is real living. This is what life is all about. And this is the one that he's referring to right now, the world system, okay? So this is what he's referring to. And folks, this is the one that he says that we should not love. And this text is basically saying to us, don't love this world system. Don't love it. And not only don't love the world system, don't love what this world system teaches. We know what's happening in the times that we are living in right now about what this world system is teaching, what this world system is inflicting upon our children, right? And we need to rise up and not accept it. And it also means, this world system and also what it stands for. What it stands for. So these are all the things that the world says will bring enjoyment, man. This is what life is all about. And again, he speaks about the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. Now, he says that those things, okay, these things are not from the Father. These things are not from the Father. They are temporary and they are actually fleeting. They will not do anything for you long term. Nothing for you long term, right? In actual fact, folks, these things, in the context of how John is speaking, what they will do, they will bring you harm. But really, if we follow the Father and we start to do things His way, the world, when it's talking about the world, okay, it will be, you'll experience true living, absolute true living, and true life, the way that God wants us to experience it. And it's interesting, some people will say, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with what you're saying. The first one is because they think that this world is not so bad. How many Christians that are participating in all these worldly activities, and they will actually say to you, I don't have a problem with this world and this world system. There are believers that are out there like that, right? Okay? There are many things in this world, that people are doing that or embracing that the Father is not happy with. God's not happy with. Other people, on the other hand, might say, this world system, I'm talking about Christians, this world system is bad. It really is bad. This world system is wrong. I really believe it's wrong. And they will say to you, I believe it's bad, I believe it's wrong, and I don't love it. But you may be able to tell that by the way they are living their lives, there's a contradiction there. And one thing, folks, as believers in Jesus, I believe we shouldn't be hypocrites. Okay? We really shouldn't be hypocrites. So the question is, and it's a big question, is it really possible not to love the world, love God, and still enjoy life? Is that possible? Okay. So we're going to check out this morning, what the Word actually says about this. We're going to see what the Scriptures actually teach. And we're also going to see what this world system actually brings to our lives, if we're embracing the wrong things. So the world says that you can go out there and enjoy life, and the way that you go and enjoy life, you know how you do it? Just please yourself. Just go please yourself. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh. Let's just focus on that one. The desires of the flesh. These are the physical things that obviously please our bodies. And for example, food. Is that right? It's good to eat food, right? Drink, right? In fact, the word says, Paul said to Timothy, you can have a glass of wine. So let's talk about, kind of alcohol, maybe in this context. Sex, right? All of these things, these physical things, are things that actually please the body. But folks, God wants us to enjoy things within the parameters of His Word, right? For example, food. We need to eat. But the Word says a lot about people that are gluttons. I'm just saying. And we can go through all of these that I've just mentioned over here. So we need to do what the Word says within the parameters of how God really wants us to live. The world says that if you purchase what you want, when you want it, man, you're going to be happy. Is that right? You're going to be. God says it's not true. God says it's not true. And again, we're going to unpack that here this morning. The next one in this verse 16, it says, for all that is of the world, the desires of the flesh, we've spoken about, the desires of the eyes. Now, this is an interesting one. The world says, whatever pleases your eyes. Huh? Maybe let's look at things that you can purchase. That's a nice place to start. Those things that please our eyes. The world will tell you, man, go out and get that thing, because once you've got that thing, you are going to be happy. Life is going to be good. You're going to be able to enjoy your life. It's going to be so much better for you. This is what the world is telling us. Get it. Go out there. Get the money for it. Now we tiptoe into our government at the moment, right? Get the money for it at all costs, man. Just go out and borrow, cheat, steal, whatever it is. Go out there, make sure that you got the money so that you can go and get that thing. Because once you've got that thing, life is going to be cool. Life is really going to be good. Do what you need to do to actually get it. And the world says that when we have those things, this is the world system, when we have those things, man, you're going to be happy. Huh? You're going to be happy. Life is going to be great. It reminds me, who remembers the days of bumper stickers? You know, there's only one bumper sticker that I remember. And it ties in with what I'm sharing here this morning. There's a bumper sticker I remember seeing many, many years ago. It says, he who dies with the most toys wins. And isn't that interesting in the times that we're living in right now? Huh? He who dies with the most toys wins. So folks, it's talking here about the desires of the eyes. And marketers are going to tell you, they are going to tell you that your life will be so much better if you have what they are selling. And you know, I know that because my background, I studied for 4 years, studied marketing. That was what I did. I know how it operates, right? What you do. All the tricks, you know, to try to get the hook in there so that people will start to purchase your product, okay? They will tell you, man, you know what? You're never, ever, ever going to be fulfilled until you have that new car. They will tell you you're never going to be fulfilled until you have that new house with the swimming pool and the tennis court that you're never going to use. Is that true? They will tell you that. They will say, you know what? Your life is just not going to be what it really should be, and you're not going to be able to enjoy life unless you go out and get that big TV screen that just fits on the biggest wall in your lounge. Because if you don't have that, life is not cool. Is that true, folks? It is. Get all of those things no matter what, right? Because once you have them, then you will be happy. You'll be a little happy camper. And folks, this is what the world is selling us, okay? It's selling it to us, and it's telling us how to do this. The next thing that it says in this verse 16, that for you and I to really enjoy life, you need to exalt yourself, right? That talks about pride, is that right? It talks about the pride of possessions, but it talks, well, it could have just said possessions, but it says a pride in possessions. It says, let me read it. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. So this is the person that is out there now boasting about what they have and what they do. Is that right? Having stuff. But, you know, it's one thing to have stuff. It's nice to have stuff. But folks, what this is saying, you know, if other people don't know about the stuff that you've got, it's not that cool. Is that right? Huh? It's really not that cool. If they don't know about it. Folks, God says that life and true life is not found in pleasing yourself as a goal. Now, I need to say this. We have to be careful because people take this out of context. People say, well, then, you know, we shouldn't have nice things. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants His favor to be poured out upon you. The Lord wants to bless you financially. So what it's talking about here, this is a heart attitude, right? This is a heart thing. So please don't think, well, I'm saying that that the Lord doesn't want us to have stuff. You okay there? That the Lord doesn't want us to have stuff. Tell the person next to you, the Lord wants to bless me. He wants to bless me out of my socks. That's true. He does. But folks, our heart attitude needs to be right in all of this. Okay? And you may say, you know, Dave, I don't know if I believe this. I really don't know if I believe all of this. I think if I go out there and I just please myself and do my own thing and love myself and just make sure that I'm feeling cool about, you know, living this world, you know, in this world and making sure that I'm happy. Me. You know, that's cool. Now, it's very interesting that there was a guy in the Bible that actually went out and put this to the test. Now, he went out there and put this very thing to the test about living for ourselves and just making sure that, you know, we just stay happy because of the things. This guy, he wasn't just an ordinary guy. He was a king, and he was a king that God blessed incredibly in terms of his wealth, right? His name is Solomon. Now Solomon, God gave him incredible wisdom. Do you know that? Absolutely incredible wisdom. Now, this is a very interesting story because Solomon, well, you know, he just had everything. He had all the bells and all the whistles, and he just, so now, there's nothing wrong with having all of that, by the way, again, okay? But now he wanted to put some of these things to the test. And let's just pick it up in the story. It's a very interesting story. This is Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. He said, so this is King Solomon. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So now he's going to, all he wants to do now is go out there and just live for pleasure. Next, then it says, enjoy yourself. But what he says is, but behold, this also is vanity. So let's pick up the story. This is so interesting. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, and you'll read as he goes through, it's about I, all the way through. Right. I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. So the first thing, he thinks, well, okay, I'm going to let rip here. I'm going to just enjoy everything that this world system has for me. So he starts off with wine, right? So he's going to go now and test the thing of alcohol to see if alcohol makes him happy, like many people do. In other days, it's probably alcohol and drugs with wine. My heart's still guiding me with wisdom. So this is very interesting. So God made him so wise, right? The wisest man that's ever been on planet Earth. And God didn't take this wisdom away from him. Folks, one thing we need to know about the Lord, any gifting that he gives you, the Bible is very clear that the gifts are without repentance. Right? God gives us gifts, and he doesn't take them back. Right? We might start to use them wrong, incorrectly, but he doesn't take them back. So he still had the wisdom. And now lay hold of on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under the heaven during the few days that we are here on in life. Now, that's probably the most accurate part of what he actually says, because he says during the few days of their life. Our life here on planet Earth is like a drop in the ocean in terms of eternity. We need to see that, folks. It's a drop in the ocean in terms of eternity. And so often we put everything we have into this life and we are not preparing ourselves for the eternity where we live here for 80, 90 years. There it is, millions upon millions upon millions of it. It's eternity. It doesn't stop. And we need to live this life with eternity in our hearts and prepare for eternity. I'll talk a bit about that right now. He says, I made great works. I built houses, right? And I planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made for myself pools for from which to water the forests of the trees of the growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and it's slaves who were born in my house. He says, I had also great possessions. So here is a guy, and we know that. You can read about Solomon, that he had great possessions. He had great wealth, of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. Basically, he was saying, I'm more wealthy than any of the previous kings in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver. So it just goes on. And gold, he says. So again, this great wealth that he was chasing after, which, okay, let's carry on. And treasure of kings and provinces. And then he says, I got singers. So he says, right, okay, it's one thing with the booze and all of this and whatever he's doing and the money and all of this. Now he wants to be entertained, what David was saying early on. Now he wants to be entertained. So he's making sure that, and folks, we need to know that when a king with this type of wealth is doing all these things in terms of the world and the world system, I'm telling you, he's giving it horns. Huh? He's going for it. What's Cyril's, you know those Cyril's cows? You know those ones. Okay. Yeah. Yes, those Ngunis. Those Ngunis, yeah, whatever. All right. So now he gets singers. He wants to be entertained. Both men and women. Then, he says, and many concubines. He says, hang on a second. It's not just good to have the booze and the money and all of that. I want lots of sexual partners. I'm going to go out there and again, with my Nguni horns, give it a real butt. Okay? So he looks at this as well. Okay? Lots of sexual partners. The delight of the children of man. So then he says, and I became great. In other words, he was great. He was very influential and he was very powerful. And I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. We see it again. God didn't take it. You know, God was looking at this guy and saying, okay. But he didn't take his wisdom away. And then he says, and whatever my eyes desired, whatever I saw, I wanted, basically, I took what I got. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. In other words, there was absolutely no restraint of anything that he wanted. He says, I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Well, I deserve this. I deserve to be able to have, you know, indulge in the booze and have all these sexual partners and just do my thing. I deserve this, he says, right? It's my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, now it gets interesting. Basically, now he tells us Solomon's conclusion to embracing this world and this world system. This is what he says. All was vanity. Hey? This world system. All was vanity. And that word vanity means futile. All was futile. All was worthless. All was of no value. And then he goes on to say, and striving after the wind. So he was just going out there. He thought that he would, like us, that we would get fulfillment in these things. It's like trying to catch the wind, folks. Right? Trying to catch the wind. And I think we need to learn from this because otherwise we keep on doing it ourselves. We will not be fulfilled with all of this. He says, and all the striving, it's like striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun, Solomon says, with all of this attitude. So the question is, if these things don't bring enjoyment to life, our lives, what does? Okay. What does the word say? Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away. Okay? There's an eternity that we are moving into, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. There it is. Just, folks, He's not saying that we shouldn't be doing those things, right? In moderation, provided it is, you know, still pleasing to the Lord. But we are not going to get fulfilled from all of this. So it's, he talks about here, who does the will of the Lord. In other words, when we make that decision and we become totally committed to Jesus, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, folks, it will bring that peace. It's going to bring that joy. It's going to bring fulfillment and purpose to our lives. Huh? That's it. That's the way it goes. God says that we will enjoy eternal life when we do things His way. Huh? And He wants us to enjoy the eternal life that we're going to go into. Now this is just, okay, so we had a look at this guy here. You know, Solomon, what he had to say about it. What does Paul have to say about it? Now Paul, who was Saul, became Paul, and he just happened to be the one that wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what he says. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh, like Solomon, that he did, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. How? Through the Spirit. It says, through the Spirit who dwells in you. So folks, the Lord is saying that we need to enjoy this life that we are living. But let's stick within the parameters that He actually gives us. He wants us, Jesus said that I've come to give you life and life in abundance, right? But let's just stick to the parameters and the framework that He actually gives us. So what we see here, that it's God gives us real life down here on planet Earth. That's what Jesus died for, part of what He died for, abundant life. And not only does He give us life on planet Earth, but He also gives us eternal life in the future that we're going to be moving into. And so we need to be able to live here and enjoy our lives. Is that true? In full? How many do you want to enjoy your life? Let's just do it His way. Okay? Nice ring to that. Okay? Jesus said, I'll tell you again, Jesus said that He came to give us life, and He came to give us life in abundance. So my question is, does this now mean that I have to now make a choice to either love God and eternity or enjoy life now? Do I have to make that choice? And the answer to that question is no. You don't have to make that choice, all right? But there are times while we are here on planet Earth that, and we're enjoying what the Lord has actually given us, there are times that we need to make sure that we do forego certain pleasures if they are not pleasing to the Lord. That's all He's saying to us. I want you to enjoy your life, the Lord says to us. Again, just within, you know, those parameters. Now it's also interesting, there was another guy in the Bible that he had some choices to make, like us. Now, this is now Moses. And Moses, it's a very interesting story. All right, we know that Moses, how many of you know at the time of Herod, you remember, Herod was intimidated. He was scared because they spoke about there was going to be a king that was going to be raised up. So he went out there and he just started slaughtering all the babies. Right? Okay. I'm sure that king is not going to, you know. So what happened with Moses, did I say king? You know what I mean. Okay, I'm thinking of my. Anyway, with Moses, all right? So they were slaughtering the parents took Moses and they put him in a little basket and they put him in the bulrushes. We all know that story, Moses and the bulrushes. Now, the interesting thing is that Pharaoh's daughter actually came down and it was all kind of set up. You go and read it. And they found Moses in the bushes. And basically what she did, she took this child and then, you know, he basically was raised up in the palace. So Moses became a prince. Now listen to what Moses says. This is now from Hebrews, so we're talking New Testament, talking about Old Testament, actually what took place. It says in Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want that. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So if he had stayed in the, you know, in the palace, you know, he would have had whatever he wanted. He would have maybe been like Solomon. Who knows how he would have been living his life. But basically it's saying that he didn't want that. You know, there was something that concerned him. He didn't want to go out and embrace the fleeting pleasures of sin. And folks, let me tell you something. You might not know this. Well, let me ask you. How many of you know that there's pleasure in sin? No one in this church. Okay? How many of you know that there is pleasure in sin? Still no one in this church. Okay. Now, that's fine. That's fine. I want to tell you something, that there is pleasure in sin, because if there was no pleasure in sin, you wouldn't be doing it. Is that true? None of us would be doing it. So, oh, I'm just a cookie. This, Christian, this has got to be the best church on the planet. Huh? How many of you know there's pleasure in sin? Not one person puts up their hand. Oh, my. So, anyway, where was I? So Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, this is Moses, rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And listen what he says. Why? He considered the reproach of Christ. Now, do you know what that word reproach means? I didn't. So you know what? I looked it up. You're right, Faye. I looked it up. And it means to rebuke. So he says, he considered the rebuke of Christ or the criticism of Christ of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He could have had all the treasures of Egypt. Why? Now, this is important because it pertains, relates to us today. Why? For he was looking to the reward. He's looking to the reward. What is the reward? I'm so pleased you asked that question. What is a reward? Moses did not forego short-term pleasure of sin because he was looking to his eternity. That's why. Looking to his eternity. Folks, I want to tell all of us today, and I'm speaking to me, and we need to remind ourselves that we need to be living our lives now with eternity in our heart. Right? And if you're living with eternity in your heart, that means that we're focusing on the King of Kings, we're focusing on Jesus, and we're doing his things his way. So, let me say this, and maybe I need to give a sermon on this sometime, but how we live our lives here on planet Earth determines the rewards that we have in eternity. I've spoken to somebody about this, and they say, oh man, I don't care if I don't have rewards. Huh? I'm just going to live it up. Okay. Christian said that. Now, let me also say this, and maybe this is another sermon for another day. I don't believe that you and I lose our salvation when we sin and when we miss the mark. Okay? If we are truly saved, that is. Now, people debate this. We have the greatest theologians on planet Earth today will actually debate this. And, there's a bit of disagreement in all of this. But really, if you are born again, that means that you have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And the Word says that the Holy Spirit is God's kind of stamp of approval for you and your eternity. Is that right? Now, if you go out there, according to how some people see it, they think you can lose your salvation. I'm so grateful I'm saved. And now I sin. Oh, my word. You know, the Holy Spirit has left me. I've lost my salvation. Now I repent. Father, I ask you to forgive me. Now I'm saved again. Okay, now I can carry on. Okay. oh, now I've just sinned again. Oh, dear, now I'm not going to heaven. If the rapture took place right now, I'm staying. But now I've repented. Oh, the rapture's just about to take place and I'm going. I'm just saying, folks, this is something that, you know, I really believe as believers, we need to have, let me say it like this. You need to have a theology on this. And I'm not going to try to convince you because, as I say, a lot of people debate this thing, that you can lose your salvation. You need to have your own theology on this. But the interesting thing, if you believe that you lose your salvation, one of the things that you will find in your life, that you will be putting yourself under law, rules and regulations all the time. Where Jesus came to set the captives free, you will be, there will be rules, regulations continually in your life because, you know, you just, I'm just not going to, you know, do anything and this rule and that rule to make sure that you kind of get to heaven. But anyway, so maybe that's something that you should ponder on and study up and find out whether you believe you lose your salvation or you don't lose your salvation. Let me carry on. According to what I believe and what I've seen, and I have read the Bible a few times, folks, that in fact there's a story in the Bible where it talks about people just getting into heaven. Is that right? Smelling of sulfur. You know that story? Yeah, they sell you smelling of sulfur. So I really do believe that there are going to be a lot of Christians that are very, very disappointed. They're going to get into heaven. Hallelujah. But they're going to spend eternity with no rewards because of how they live their lives here on planet Earth. I can't go through. It's actually a message in itself. All right, I can't focus on that now. Maybe I'll do a teaching on that. And again, I'm saying this is what I believe, right? There are people that will disagree with all of this. So it talks about, you know, just getting into that scripture, getting into eternity, smelling of sulfur. So these are people that arrive there without any rewards. And folks, imagine that. I want my reward, my crown, all those, those jewels in my crown, because we are the ones that are going to cast our crowns before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't want there to be no kind of jewels in my crown. So the point I'm making is that many people will be disappointed in eternity. Thank goodness they're there. They're in heaven, but without rewards. And the reason is because of not living a life here the way the Lord wants us to live, right? So again, I'm saying to us, let us now prepare for eternity. Let us start to do things His way. Now, I want to ask a question again. So does living for God mean that anything that the world finds bad out there, or let me say it the other way, anything that the world finds really good that we have to avoid? Does that mean that? Of course it doesn't. So, okay. We just need to make sure that how we conduct ourselves is in a way that is pleasing to the Lord and that we enjoy our lives. And you know what's so amazing? When we've got God the Holy Spirit, when we do mess up, and we do, the Holy Spirit is going to, you know, not condemn us, but He's going to convict us of that. So we need to make sure that we embrace the whole counsel of Scripture. So in other words, we can enjoy the things that God has actually given us. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the things. I'm talking about things now that God has actually given us. But folks, one thing's for sure, we will never, ever be fulfilled with the things. Okay? We won't be fulfilled with the things, but we can enjoy those things. We will never, ever be fulfilled with them. It is only a relationship with Jesus that is going to fulfill you and is going to fulfill me. It's as simple as that, right? You know, Satan, we know he's a liar. We know that he is the father of lies. And, you know, he's saying to us, he was saying to the world, you go out there, you look after number one, you pursue pleasure, you know, and he carries on and, you know, make sure that you've got the power, make sure that you can go out there and do whatever you want to do, because that is real life. And yet Jesus said, in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So what we need to do, folks, we need to push in with God continually, all the time. And that's how we do it. How do we do this? There's a question. How do we actually do this? And live in a way that the Lord wants us to live. Now, Romans 12:1 tells us, it says, I appeal to you. This is now Paul speaking to us here today. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So when we live in a way that God wants us to live, it's a form of worship, spiritual worship. Let's sing to him, folks. Live for him. Spend time with him. Listen to him when he's actually talking to us. Colossians 3:17, as I close. And whatever you do, talking to us, whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, basically, we need to be doing as unto the Lord, whatever we're doing. And maybe we should be asking ourselves this question, you know, where we work. Maybe when the boss is there, we really put in the effort. But what this is saying, that even when the boss is not there, we should be doing our job as unto the Lord, right? Our job as unto the Lord. And it's wonderful when you got a company and you got people with that attitude, right? And also, as a husband or a wife, we need to be, treating our husband and wife as unto the Lord. When it comes to raising our kids, that we raise our kids as unto the Lord. And also serving in the church even, as unto the Lord. So folks, let's pray and ask God to give us the discernment. Let's ask him to give us the strength to live our lives as unto him. Let's enjoy the fullness of this life. You know, I hear people, and I'm sure you do, oh, I can't wait for the rapture. Huh? Man, let's just enjoy our lives. We've got so much work to do on planet Earth, like David mentioned, snatching people out of the kingdom of darkness and bringing them in. So the longer the time that we got, the better. More people will receive salvation. More people coming in. Enjoying the fullness of life, but also making sure that we are well prepared for the eternity that we are actually going to be moving into. Folks, Jesus paid a huge price for you and me. Huh? He shed blood on that cross. So let's choose today just to do it his way. Let's choose today to love God and not this world or this world system, right? That is going to crumble as well. So basically, the choice is ours. Let's choose well. Let's choose well. Amen. Are you